Today is the 13th Sunday after Pentecost. There will be blessing of articles after Mass today at the communion rail. There will not be any benediction this evening. Some big feasts this week, like for instance, today is the feast of St. John Eudes, one of the saints of the Sacred Heart. Tomorrow is August 20th, the feast of St. Bernard. And if you don't know his story, you should know it. On Tuesday is the feast of St. Jane Frances de Chantal, another magnificent story. Wednesday is a feast of the Immaculate Heart of the Blessed Virgin Mary. It's a big feast, especially for us. It's a modern feast. Thursday is a feast of St. Philip Benizi, whom we have talked to you about often. Friday is the feast of one of the apostles, St. Bartholomew. And Saturday is the feast of St. Louis the Ninth. Please place your donations in the offering box when you obtain calendars and other items. Do not leave donations unattended in the vestibule or at the communion rail. The 2019 liturgical calendars are available in the vestibule today after Mass. They are $10 each. Please place your donation in the offering box in the vestibule, in case you didn't get that the first time. So you may have seen the announcements on the board. We have a big change. The Mass now, from now on, is not going to be at 8 o'clock. It's going to be at 9 o'clock. From now on, if you know anybody who is not here, be sure to tell them. 9 o'clock from now on Sundays. So it's just like feast days. 9 o'clock. Have I repeated it enough? Starts next Sunday. Confessions will continue to be heard as usual 30 minutes before the Sunday Mass. We feel this change will make it easier for everyone and allow everyone to get more sleep before the Sunday Mass. The earlier Mass will now be at 7:30. If you need to attend this earlier Mass because of some necessity, please call us beforehand. The epistle for today's Mass is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Galatians. Brethren, the promises were made to Abraham and to his offspring. He does not say, and to his offsprings, as of many, but as of one, and to thy offspring, who is Christ. Now, I mean this. The law, which was made 430 years later, does not annul the covenant which was ratified by God, so as to make the promise void. For if the right to inherit be from the law, it is no longer from a promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. What then was the law? It was enacted on account of transgressions, being delivered by angels through a mediator, until the offspring should come to whom the promise was made. Now there is no intermediary where there is only one, but God is one. Is the law then contrary to the promises of God? By no means. For if a law had been given that could give life, justice would truly be from the law. But the Scripture shut up all things under sin, but that by the faith of Jesus Christ, the promise might be given to those who believe. Please stand for the gospel. The Holy Gospel for today's Mass is taken from the account according to St. Luke, chapter 17, verses 11 to 19. At that time, as Jesus was going to Jerusalem, he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. And as he was entering a certain village, there met him 10 lepers, who stood afar off and lifted up their voice, crying, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." And when he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And it came to pass, as they were on their way, that they were made clean. But one of them, seeing that he was made clean, returned with a loud voice, glorifying God, and he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks, and he was a Samaritan. But Jesus answered and said, "Were not the 10 made clean? But where are the 9? Has no one been found to return and give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Arise, go thy way, for thy faith has saved thee." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. In the introit for today's Mass, right near the beginning of the Mass, we prayed that God would listen to us. And it, when we prayed for that, we presumed that the prayer presumes that we are humble, because it's asking for God to listen to the poor. And you know who the poor are. We've mentioned that many times. Beati pauperes spiritu. Blessed are the poor in spirit. That means those who are humble. It does not mean primarily those who are poor in possessions. Humble. So if you are humble, then this prayer was asking that God would listen to you, pay attention to you. You are humble if when someone steps on you, then you enjoy it. That's the humble. But also it's asking for God to listen to those who are seeking Him. Are you seeking God? And we hope that you are praying fervently at the last part of the introit, because it's very important. It says, "Oh God, why have you cast us off to the end? Why is your wrath kindled against the sheep of your pasture?" And that's us. There has never been a time since the beginning of time that there has been such a vile and insidious persecution of God's chosen people. Never like we are experiencing right now. So we hope, brethren, that you are praying these prayers as if you mean it, because we need God's help. This has never been, anything like what we have. And our society, do we have to tell you how corrupt our society is? That we now elect officials who are openly immoral. They're proud of their immorality. And we elect them. That's how depraved our society is. This has never happened before either. Especially in a society as big as ours. Plus, from the time of Christ up to, not including our time period that we, you and I are living in, there have been great saints to guide us, all of us who are seeking God. We have no saints, at least none that we know of. We are all alone. So again, we hope you are praying fervently. The collect, fortunately, has us pray for the three most important things in our lives: faith, hope, and charity. We have recommended to you often, and we remind you that we should pray the acts of faith, hope, and charity often. This is essential. And in addition to this, we should thank God often. That means often during the day, often every day. Thank Him with all of our heart for these gifts. There are at least 7.5 billion people in the world. How many do you suppose have been given what you and I have been given? Not very many. And if you do not thank Him for these gifts, He will take them from you, give them to someone else who will thank Him for them. He does it all of the time, takes His gifts from this person and gives them to this person, because they will appreciate His gifts more. That's the gifts. We're speaking right at the moment of the gifts of faith, hope, and charity, but let's just talk about faith and hope. How many people hope to get to heaven, as you do? Most of the world has no hope of getting to heaven. They don't believe in heaven. How could they hope to reach it? That's most of the world. We also hope you pray for them, because if you don't pray for them, many more will be lost. God gave us our gifts so that we might help others by our prayers. And He actually listens to us. As far as love is concerned, St. Augustine says this: "My most loving Savior, write on my heart thy wounds, that I may always behold therein thy suffering and love for me, that I may never love or be able to love any other than thee." So, if we love anything or anyone without loving them for God, because of God, that is almost the definition of sin. Never love anyone or anything except in God. If you do, even if it is not a serious sin, you are wasting your time This is what we have told you. We say to ourselves when we forget to pray for any length of time, say we are wasting our time, or we just wasted that time. Because we need to purify our intentions often so that we do things for love of God. The epistle is all about our promise. The promise that God made to Abraham, which was actually to our Savior. That's what it says. And the significant thing is that this promise was for us, because we are Christ's. We belong to Christ. And so the promise was to us. And the promise, in essence, was that God would bring us to heaven. Now, heaven, brethren, is not just a happy place that we go to. Our Lord and Savior spelled it out for us much more clearly so that we would appreciate what heaven is. And so he said to us, I am the vine, you are the branches. It's part of the promise. If any man love me, my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. That is even more what he is speaking about, is even higher than sanctifying grace, which was sanctifying grace is infinitely above our human nature. Infinitely beyond it. That's just sanctifying grace. St. Thomas says that it is greater, a greater work, infinitely greater, to bring a person to grace than it is to create heaven and earth. Imagine that. And that's what you can do by bringing someone to grace. But what our Lord and Savior is speaking about is higher than that. He's talking about the Blessed Trinity dwelling in our souls. Brethren, we have told you this often, but not even among all of the pagans has anyone ever dreamed of becoming God. And that's what you and I do. God becomes one with us. We become part of the Blessed Trinity. This is what has happened to you and me. In our faith, there is a woman in heaven who is like God, our mother. She's the first daughter, we repeat what we said on Assumption. She's the first daughter of the Father. She is the mother of the Son, and she's the spouse of the Holy Ghost. We don't know if you've ever heard this, but in heaven, our primary source of happiness will be, after the Blessed Trinity, will be her. That's how exalted women are by our God. So this is what happens for us. But this is only the beginning. What we have now in sanctifying grace and God dwelling in us, even when we receive Holy Communion, and we have Christ physically present in our body and soul, this is only the seed. Because in heaven, our sanctifying grace becomes like an infinite tree, the seed of grace, which we have now. And so we see God. If you've ever seen some of the depictions of our Blessed Mother in heaven, or in her Assumption, her eyes are closed, because the artist is depicting her vision of God, that she sees Him even without her eyes. He is present to her more in her soul than if she could see Him, which of course she does. But that's not her first sight of Him, nor will it be ours. We'll see Him infinitely more clearly in our souls, the eyes of our souls, than we will with our physical eyes. This is heaven. But that is brought, that brings us to the gospel. And by the way, Our Lady's Assumption is a continuation of that promise, the promise of bringing us to heaven. That's a further evidence that God will bring us to heaven, Our Lady's Assumption. And to repeat, that is a sign of our predestination if we are devoted to our Mother, if we love her. Sometime we will talk about what it means to be devoted to her. But it is, if you are, in fact, devoted to her in a serious way, that is a sign that you will go to heaven, sign of your predestination. So now we have the gospel. And in the gospel, these nine lepers who were Jewish, whereas the other man was a Samaritan, these nine lepers forgot. They had a terrible problem with their memory. They forgot so many things. One of the things they forgot was to be humble. Because if they were humble, they would have realized that they were healed by Christ Himself and that they needed to thank Him. And another thing that they forgot is why they were here on earth. And this, of course, is a reminder for us, for you and me. Why are we here? We are not here only because we are going to heaven. We are here to see God now. To know God now in a way, in some way similar to the way we will know him in heaven by prayer, so that we live for him. This is why we are here. So that we may not only set aside time every day, and if you don't set aside a good amount of time every day for prayer, you are in danger. We know that some people do not believe this is important for them because they say some prayers before they go to bed. You're in grave danger, brethren. If you don't set aside time for prayer and spiritual reading, don't consider yourselves Catholic. Catholics pray. But also, that part is a given. If you don't do that, we warn you. Beware. Especially at the end of your life. Because if you are not a person of prayer, Satan will have his way with you at the end of your life. That's the greatest trial that anyone can endure, death. And he is particularly interested in you at that time. And he knows you through and through. He knows exactly how to tempt you. He's saving his best for that time. You will not be able to resist if you are not a person of prayer. But to be a person of prayer does not mean simply that you set aside time every day for prayer. It means that you pray all day. Remember? We mention this to you because this is what this Mass is all about. It often is. But this season is dedicated to the prayer of the saints, unitive prayer, so that we can pray all day while we work. This is what we are expected to do. It cannot be done, obviously, without God's help. But this is your goal. If it's not your goal, you're mixed up. Constant prayer. Every moment, even in sleep, we pray. Remember, brethren, that your spiritual reading and your meditation, that's what people think is prayer, meditation. Meditation is thinking. It's important to meditate, but meditation by itself does not accomplish anything. Every prayer is an act of love. Prayer is love. When you pray, you are loving. And if you are not loving, then you're not praying. Prayer is lifting, remember definition of prayer? Of course you do. Lifting your heart and your mind to God. Heart and mind, that's love. If you're not loving, you are not praying. And how long does it take to make an act of love? About 1 second. So all of the four types of prayer are not prayers at all if they don't include love. Thanksgiving, reparation, petition, adoration. We don't see any halos, and that means that you're not praying as you should. This room should be filled with saints. We have given you, I don't know how many examples of people like yourselves, not religious, not priests, not nuns, not brothers, not hermits, people like yourselves who are saints. Last month, there was a saint on the calendar, Saint Alexis. It's called Saint Alexis, the man of God. He was never religious. Son of rich people. And he decided when he was a young man that he was going to give up everything. And he just disappeared. Just became a beggar. Went into another country. Eventually he came home. Knocked on his parents' castle. And asked for some food and some shelter. They didn't recognize him. So they told him, gave him a piece of bread and told him he could live under their stairs. And that's where he lived for 30 years. When he was dying, he called for his mother. And she apologized that she hadn't recognized him. Next week is the feast of Saint Sebi. Probably never heard of him. Saint Sebi. He was the king he was the king of the East Saxons. King of England, not of all of England. King of part of England. At that time it was divided up. Saint Sebi, or Seba. He began to reign in the year 664, and 13 years later, he was converted to the Catholic faith by Saint Erkenwald, who was Bishop of London. After his conversion, he began to pray. And he developed his life of prayer so that he would pray all the time. Always praying and often giving alms. Because he was king. He was a king. We know, we've told you this before. Like for instance, this week is St. Louis the Ninth. Great saint, King of France. Imagine how many more responsibilities he had than you and me. And he became a saint as the king, like Saint Seba. If these kings, and there are innumerable kings, emperors, empresses, queens, princesses, princes, innumerable who became saints. You think they sat around all day praying? They were active, brethren. So this is why we are here. If it's not why you're here, change your life. Only thing that matters is your prayers. Your prayer. One prayer. Constant. And this is what this gospel is all about. A reminder to pray. To thank God and to pray. And then, if you are humble, God will come to you. And you will know God now as you will in heaven. May God bless you.